Advent. Once a year, the chance to wait with a purpose. Maybe it is in the waiting for God, not in the wandering from store to store, that we will find our way. Maybe it is in the friendship of God, not in the frenzy of the crowds, that we are led to the manger. Maybe it is in the steadfast love of God, and not in the pile of stuff under the tree, that we find what we have been searching for all our lives. Maybe, just maybe, God of Advent, this year will be different. Maybe, just maybe, we will let you lead us to Bethlehem. Well, good morning, everyone. And we've got one little job we need to do right away, because we sang about hope being a candle, and we need to get a candle lit. So who's coming to help light the candle? Is it Callum that's coming to help light the candle? Right, come on. I'll help you this. Come on, we need to get this. Ooh. Right, I'll light the taper, and then you can light the big candle from the taper. Is that okay? If I do this bit. Right. Now, want to light that one there. So if you take that. There we go. And then if you can blow that one out. Big blow. There we go. That's lovely. Thank you very much. And that's our hope candle lit. And each week as we go through Advent, of course, another candle gets lit until on Christmas morning they're all lit. The order of service has quite a number of intimations and also quite a lot of things enclosed with it. So I'm not going to speak about everything that's there. I'll let you take your time to do that. But I do have a number of intimations that people have asked me to mention this morning. The flower team are going to be decorating the church next Saturday morning from 9:30. And anyone who would like to come and play a part in that, who would like to come and help, would be very, very welcome. And there's also a plea from the flower team for holly, ivy and other evergreen donations, which can be left on Friday at the Quarry Road entrance to the church, ready for the Saturday morning. So if you're available next Saturday at 9:30 and would like to help with decorating the church, you'd be very, very welcome. Also next Saturday, of course, we have our coffee morning with the singing waiters. And donations for that can be handed into the Kirk Centre between 6 and 7 on Friday evening, and there's some help needed with setting up as well, and actually on the morning of the coffee morning. So if you're able to help with that, you'd be made very, very welcome you could do that. Also, we're needing more volunteers for the Christmas Tree Festival. The rota is up in the hall, and if you maybe want to have a wee look at it and see if there's any of the slots that are empty that you might be able to help with. I know that Anne would be very grateful for some more names on the rota there too. And then finally, one little intimation about another one for next Saturday, but the evening this time, we have our next film night. We're watching It's a Wonderful Life, and there will be mulled wine and mince pies to entice you along as well. So that's 7 o'clock next Saturday night at the Kirk Centre, if you'd like to come and watch It's a Wonderful Life. Irene and Stella are back from their travels, and it was just like, you know, we got a little postcard, which when I went into the vestry this morning, it was sitting waiting for me. So it arrived the same time as you, which is not bad considering it's come all the way from Nepal. I think that's pretty tremendous. So Stella and Bruce Anderson and I are enjoying a restful few days in Pokhara before we should be what should be a very intensive tour of Darjeeling. The weather is warm, but unfortunately cloudy, so we cannot see the beautiful mountains. Did you get to see the beautiful mountains at all?
Yes, in Darjeeling.
Very good. You got there eventually. Anyway, I am going to leave you to read all the other intimations. Just maybe to mention that tonight we have our As the Sun Goes Down service at 6 o'clock, if you would like to come along to that too. We are here this morning on the first Sunday of Advent, and we come to worship. Our theme for today is hope. Today marks the first Sunday in Advent, a Sunday of hope. Hope born into our world 2,000 years ago. Hope born again at this time of year. Hope born with the sound of every crying new baby. Yet sometimes hope seems far away from our homes, our churches, our community, our world. Creator, may your hope be reborn in all places of conflict. Redeemer, may your light of hope shine bright. Sustainer, may your hope be born in us this morning. Let us worship God, three in one, one in three. Our hymn is 472, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus. Let's come to God in prayer. Life-giving God, you amaze us in so many ways. The miracle of pregnancy and birth, the wonder of a newborn child, the fragility of a helpless babe still amazes and confuses us. Fill us with compassion and a desire to do all in our power, that each child may receive the love and care they need. As we come to you this Advent Sunday, we pray for families and for those expecting and waiting. And help us to wait and expect your coming again to us this Christmas time as a tiny infant. And hear us as we pray together the perfect prayer taught to us by your Son. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'm wondering how many of us started an advent calendar yesterday. Did you? Ellie, did you start an advent calendar yesterday? And does your advent calendar have cheese in it? No. Does it have anything in it? Jim? Pictures. So you've got one with pictures. Does anybody have one with cheese in it? Dot. Where's Emily? Emily's got one with, where are you hiding? Emily's got one with cheese in it, haven't you, Emily? And Richard's got one with beer in it. I was ever hopeful of maybe getting one with either gin or wine in mine, but no, I haven't. I'm fancying a cheese one. Does anybody else fancy a cheese advent calendar? I think that sounds like a really lovely one. Does anybody have one with chocolate in it? Fraser's got one with chocolate. Carol's got one with chocolate in it as well. Lots of different Advent calendars. But what are we doing with our Advent calendars? What are we actually doing with them, Callum?
Counting the 24 days till Christmas.
We're counting, aren't we? We're counting down, I think, is the way I like to think about it. Counting down the 24 days prior to Christmas Day itself. And in a way, when we light our Advent ring in church, we're also counting down. That's a bit like an Advent calendar, isn't it? But it's only got four candles on it, and the white one in the centre, for the four Sundays in Advent. And then on Christmas Day itself, we get to light the white one in the middle. Well, I brought my Advent calendar with me this morning. Can you see my Advent calendar? It's on the communion table there. And you don't open anything in it. You don't take anything from it, but you actually add to it. There's little card things that you can stick in. So I've already added in the one for yesterday, which was the star at the very top of the picture there of the stable. And I think there's a little angel that needs to be added next to you. Ailey, do you want to come and help me add it to the... Yeah. And what I was thinking I might do with this one is I'll leave it sitting there, and in a Sunday morning, if any children want to come and see if it's up to date. And if it's not up to date, help yourself to the things that will be lying beside it and find the right thing to put in the right hole. Right, but you can help me with it this morning. So we're looking for a number 2. You see if you can see number 2. Oh, you found it there. You spotted it right away. So there we go. A little angel gets added to the picture there. There we go. And it'll get much busier, the picture, won't it, as time goes on? Yeah. Thank you very much. Well spotted. Right. So for those of you that don't want chocolate or cheese, there are a number of other options available for Advent if you want to do some kind of Advent calendar. The Church of Scotland itself has an online Advent calendar. If you want to go onto the Church of Scotland's website, you'll find a link there. And every day there's going to be a thought or a prayer or a little video from someone within the Church of Scotland saying something about Advent and what it means to them. And today it is the moderator, the Right Reverend Susan Brown, who's left a little video clip for you to listen to. So if you want to do that, you can do that. But I've actually got another couple of options for you. And when you come in this morning, you would have been maybe given one of these. And it's an instructions for a reverse Advent calendar. So that's instead of us getting something as we count down, it's about us giving something as we count down. And the idea is that you take a box and you sit it aside somewhere, and every day pop something in it, and there's a little list of the kinds of things that my suggestion can go into the box. And at the end of the month, the boxes, you can either bring them along to church full or to the Kirk Centre, and these will be divided up between the Cyrenians and Instant Neighbour, the two food banks that we currently support through the boxes we normally have at the door of the church. So that's something for you to maybe think about if you'd like to do that. The instructions are there. If the boxes are going to be difficult for you to take with you, then Ben and I are quite happy to get a wee phone call and say, could you come and collect our box at the end of the month? We're happy to do that for you. And our numbers are on there too. Also in the church, you might have noticed a big white box. This is one of the baby boxes that are given to new families by the Scottish Government. And normally the box is full, and it's full of all kinds of things that might be helpful for a new family. But this box is empty. And it's going to stay here all the way through Advent, but I thought it'd be nice if by the end of it, it was full. Full of things that might be useful to a family who have got a new baby. Things, again, that we can pass on to the food bank. Things like nappies and wipes and that kind of thing. So if you'd like to help us fill that, that's another thing you might want to think about doing, is just bring some bits and pieces. And if the box gets filled to overflowing, that's absolutely fine. We'll just keep on going. But it'll remain there for the period of Advent, and it'd be really nice to see it finished and filled by the end of it. Now, all these Advent calendars and all these things to do for Advent. It's all about waiting and anticipating, and it's a great theme that I like about Advent. I'm not one for rushing into Christmas. You'll have noticed in the order of service, there's no any Christmas carols this week. Sorry if you were expecting a Christmas carol this week. But I don't do Christmas carols until it's nearer Christmas, because I like to wait and anticipate and build up and get excited about it before we sing too many Christmas carols. But we will in a wee minute, because I had a special request. And I'll explain about that in a wee minute. But for the children and the families in church, we have some Advent calendars for you. And Clay and Abby have got them. And they come in the shape of a little box. And if you two want to come round and make sure each of the families gets a box to take home, I'll let everybody else see what's inside. There's a little packet with post-its, angel-shaped post-its. And the idea is that you can maybe leave them all around the place, a bit of festive cheer. But inside the box is a card for every day of the month. And on each card, there's a little Bible reading, a little thought to go along with it, and then something to maybe have a wee story to share together. So there's one for each of the families in the church. So if Abby and Clay want to hand those out. And if anybody would like to take one away, Callum, that'll fit in your suitcase, won't it, Callum? Yeah, there we go. Okay, that's fine. I have got a few. We'll have a few extras of these, and there's some on the table at the back. So if anybody would like to take one of these away to give to a member of your family to share with their children, you'd be very, very welcome. They come from a group called Alternativity, who try and encourage us to think alternatively about Christmas and be less commercial about the thoughts that we have. And they've given these away for free this year. And so I thought it'd be really nice to give them to our families that we've got here. So I hope you enjoy them and you get something from them as we go through. Now, I said I was going to break my Christmas carol rule. That's because I got a phone message last Saturday left on my phone from Callum here saying, "Shuna, it's Callum, could you phone me back?" So I phoned Callum back, and he had a wee request because he's not going to be in church for the rest of December because, trial of trials, he's going off round the world. So he had a small request if we could sing a Christmas carol this morning. And so we're going to do that. We're going to sing We Three Kings. That was his request. And I thought, well, that kind of fits in with the beginning of Advent because the kings will have been setting off following their star by now. So we'll let him off with this. We're going to sing together We Three Kings of Orient Are. And the words are in a bit of paper inside your order of service.
Thank you.
original plan was to sing Big Family of God at this point, but time is marching on and we've still got quite a lot to fit into the service, so we'll give that one a wee skip and we'll go to our reading. Thank you, Anne.
The reading this morning is taken from Exodus, chapter 1, starting at verse 8, and you'll find this on page 56 in the Pew Bible. Let us listen to the word of God. Then a new king, who knew nothing about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, "These Israelites are so numerous and strong that they are a threat to us. In case of war, they might join our enemies in order to fight against us and might escape from the country. We must find some way to keep them from being even more numerous." So the Egyptians put slave drivers over them to crush their spirits with hard labor. The Israelites built the cities of Pithom and Ramesses to serve as supply centers for the king. But the more the Egyptians oppressed the Israelites, the more they increased in number, and further they spread through the land. The Egyptians came to fear the Israelites and made their lives miserable by forcing them into cruel slavery. They made them work on their building projects and in their fields, and they had no mercy on them. Finally, the king issued a new command to all his people. "Take every newborn Hebrew boy and throw him into the Nile, but let all the girls live." And then from chapter 2, reading from verse 1, the birth of Moses. During this time, a man from the tribe of Levi married a woman of his own tribe, and she bore him a son. When she saw what a fine baby he was, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could not hide him any longer, she took a basket made of reeds and covered it with tar to make it watertight. She put the baby in it and then placed it in the tall grass at the edge of the river. The baby's sister stood some distance away to see what would happen to him. The king's daughter came down to the river to bathe while her servants walked along the bank. Suddenly, she noticed the basket in the tall grass and sent a slave woman to get it. The princess opened it and saw a baby boy. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of the Hebrew babies," she said. Then his sister asked her, "Shall I go and call a Hebrew woman to act as a wet nurse?" "Please do," she answered. So the girl went and brought the baby's own mother. The princess told the woman, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So she took the baby and nursed him. Later, when the child was old enough, she took him to the king's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. She said to herself, "I pulled him out of the water, and so I name him Moses." Thanks be to God for this reading.
Thank you, Anne, for reading to us the first of a number of birth stories that we'll hear this Advent. Now sing together hymn 168 in the orchestra leading us this time as we sing "God Weeps."
Yeah.
And thank you to the orchestra for helping lead our worship this morning. Sang a song there, quite a mournful song. God weeping, God crying, God waiting. I want to introduce you now to Evan. Evan's hiding at the back somewhere. Evan from Instant Neighbour, one of the food bank charities that we support here in church. And I invited Evan to come along and share with us just some of the work that Instant Neighbour do and how, in the context of our Advent season, it's important that we can think about how we can play our part. Evan.
Good morning. Thanks, Shuna, for inviting me this morning. And I want to thank all of you for the continued support you've offered us for however long you have. I don't know how long you have. I've only been in this job for 8 weeks, so I'm still learning the ropes. But thank you. Thank you so much. Instant Neighbour's motto is help today gives hope for tomorrow. Unfortunately, the society we live in, as Shona spoke about earlier with these little Advent calendars, but it's a very commercial society that we live in. We're always told, you should have this, you want this, you need to buy this. And at Instant Neighbour, where I run the food bank, it's unfortunately one of the things I'm seeing in people on the lowest of incomes, in desperate poverty, still wanting things, still wanting to buy things. Which means they're coming to a food bank for food. That's horrible. It's horrible that society has made people feel that they still should be able to get nice things because there's food banks available. Ultimately, I don't want to be in this job. I shouldn't have this job. This job shouldn't be here. But it is. And don't get me wrong, most of my clients don't have chaotic enough lifestyles to want to buy things rather than buy food. I deal with a lot of people on benefits. I deal with a lot of people who are immigrants. I deal with a lot of people who do live tragic, chaotic lifestyles. And just basics like food, the fact that people don't have it, don't have access to it, is horrific. I'm not going to get political, but your continued support for the food banks is desperately, desperately needed, especially at this time of year. I was at a meeting a couple of weeks ago with people who run food banks all over Scotland. And in Edinburgh, there are 9 food banks. In Aberdeen, there's over 20. The disparity between wealth and poverty in Aberdeen is astonishing. I'm based at our St. Macher headquarters, so we are right in one of the poorest Aberdeen's areas in Aberdeen. And the poverty that I see every day is upsetting, it's terrifying. And they do say that we're only ever 3 months away from being homeless. The reason I can agree with that is that this time last year I was officially homeless. I found myself in a position where I was sleeping on the streets. I was coming through homeless hostels. But I worked hard, worked really hard, negotiating the minefield that is the benefit system. Got myself back on my feet, and I've landed this incredible role where I can use my experience to offer hope to our users. And that's one thing that's lacking in a lot of my clients is hope. They don't see a way out of their situation. They live from day to day. And a lot of us have been there, whether it's financially, whether it's emotionally. Just getting by day to day is a struggle. And what we aim to do at Instant Neighbour is to offer hope. Yes, we have the food bank, and that's kind of my big thing. That's what I run. But we offer a lot of facilities to people. In conjunction with the government offering the baby boxes, we offer a safe and sound service, which is access to a lending service for baby equipment, prams, stuff like that. We have our shops, And every penny from our shops goes back in to help in the community. So if you've ever got any furniture that you need rid of, give us a shout. We'll come and pick it up for you, and we will pass it on to those that really need it. We run various initiatives where we can make the money to be able to offer hope to people on a low income. Just check out our website. I don't want to do a massive appeal here this morning, but check out our website. You'll see everything that we do. The big thing that we do require at this time of year is volunteers. So I am going to appeal to you for that. If any of you feel you can offer a bit of time, we have a warehouse where we need to sort through all our donations. We have the food bank. We need to sort through the food bank donations. Our biggest thing at this time of year, though, is the Giving Tree. And I'm sure if you've been round about Aberdeen, you've seen the Christmas tree with the wee tags in it, with the kids' names and ages. And it's Instant Neighbour that runs that. Because we believe no child should wake up on Christmas morning without a present. And it's an increasing, it's grown and grown and grown. This is our 28th year of doing it. Last year we handed out over 8,000 Christmas presents. So this year we'll probably beat that. We've had, I think, more than 8,000 people have registered for it. So if you can offer any time to help wrap some presents, if you go to our website and go to the Giving Tree section, you can get in touch with them. And Karen, our Giving Tree coordinator, would be delighted of the help, because at the moment she's sitting up at the Chevron offices in a mountain of presents, wondering where to start. So if you can offer any time. But yeah, our main thing is hope. Help today to offer hope for tomorrow. We want to be able to show people that even though life is hard, even though life is tough, if they can take control, if they can be offered some support, some care, then it does offer a bit of hope tomorrow. And yeah, that is Instant Neighbour. And thank you for your time.
Okay. Thank you, Evan. Thank you very much. Evan has given us lots to think about there. I think one of the things about being able to offer hope is for folk to know that there are people in this city who actually care. And one way we can show we care is by donating, volunteering our time and helping in whatever way we can. So I've already mentioned this Advent. We're going to explore some of the birth narratives in the Bible as we wait and anticipate the birth of Jesus Christ. That God came among us as a tiny baby born of a fully human woman is one of the most incredible parts of God's story. Why a tiny child? We all probably know stories about tiny babies achieving great things, even the tiniest. Andy, my son, told me the other night about Tyson Fury, the heavyweight boxer who was boxing last night. He only weighed 1 pound when he was born 3 months premature. And at the weigh-in for last night's fight, he weighed in at 18 stone, 4.5 pounds. The tiniest of babies has grown into a champion heavyweight boxer. Not the obvious outcome from such a difficult start in life. And of course, last night he drew. He didn't win his fight, but he drew, but still a marvellous achievement. God has the habit of choosing the unobvious. Moses is a great example. He had a difficult start in life, but thankfully had some resourceful women in his family. Women may often find themselves nameless in the Bible, but they often play key roles in what's going on. For example, Moses' mother. We're not given her name at this point in the story. It's only later that we learn in Exodus that her name is Jochebed. There's a Samaritan woman at the well. She remains nameless. Mary, mother of Jesus, we know her name. The women who went to the tomb. Lydia, who went on to lead a church. Women playing key roles despite a patriarchal society and latterly a patriarchal church. And women are all over Moses' story. There was his mother, the princess, his sister, the king's daughter, women playing key roles. And we'll hear more stories about women over the coming weeks, because we cannot escape the truth that without these women, there would be no Moses, no Samson, no John the Baptist, no Jesus. And as we share in the births of Moses, Samson, John, and Jesus, we'll explore what they and their mother's stories have to say to us today. So let's begin with Moses, whose birth story we heard this morning. Here we have the story of a mother doing what she can to protect her child. The Israelites are in danger. A new king has taken over Egypt and their oppression has started. The king is so scared that the Israelites will join forces with his country's enemies. He issues a decree that all newborn Hebrew boys be thrown in the Nile. And it's in this context that Moses' mother gives birth to him. So she does what she can to keep him safe, hiding him in the bushes where he's found by a princess who arranges for the king's daughter to adopt him, unaware that the wet nurse she employs is actually Moses' own mother. The story raises difficult parallels today as we see images of refugees across the world seeking to protect their children and give them a chance for life, even though it may involve immediate risk. We see this in the lives and the stories of families fleeing on rafts across the Mediterranean and Aegean Seas, or at the US-Mexican border. This tells you something very important about the situations these families are fleeing, that they are willing to risk so much, including the lives of their own children. The image this week of a mother and her young children running from the tear gas at the Mexican border has haunted me. When I watched the President of the United States sitting behind his desk tell those in attendance that the tear gas is a very minor form of tear gas, I wanted to scream, "Mr. President, these are children, babies." And so the echoes to ancient Israel and Egypt are loud and clear. As Egypt begins the oppression, we find the joy and hope of Jacob's family finding new life with Joseph in Egypt has turned to a bitter heartache and an agony as the Hebrews find themselves enslaved and under a paranoid Pharaoh intent on their oppression. With a genocidal command to eliminate a generation of boys providing the ghastly impetus, the only hope for a young mother desperate to save her son lies in the papyrus basket placed amongst the reeds. It's her way of trying to take control of the situation as much as she can, and cleverly knowing this was a spot used by Pharaoh's daughter to bathe. The mother of Moses relies on the compassion of another woman, and it proves to be a good call. As the story unfolds, the canniness of Moses' family is fully borne out as his sister Miriam manages to arrange for the boy's own mother to act as wet nurse, thereby keeping her bond with her child as he grew up. The women, from midwives to mothers and daughters, find ways to overcome the power of the Pharaoh. In the animated musical version of the first part of Moses' story, The Prince of Egypt, there's a song in it which is Miriam that sings these words. "Many nights we've prayed with no proof anyone could hear. In our hearts a hopeful song we barely understood. Now we are not afraid. Although we know there's much to fear, we are moving mountains. Long before we knew we could. There can be miracles when you believe. Though hope is frail, it's hard to kill." Sometimes all we can do is hope through the bleak present that it will get better. And little by little, act by small gracious act, it can. This Advent Sunday, as we watch our hope candle flicker, my prayer is certainly one of hope. Hope that the world can become a nicer place for all of us. Hope that the hateful rhetoric about the other becomes a thing of the past. Hope that the need for food banks and Evan's job disappears. Hope that the retelling of the birth of Jesus becomes again the central part of everyone's Christmas. And I base that hope on the reassurance that God's story is not finished and God is not finished with us. We sang at the beginning of the service these words, "Hope is a candle once lit by the prophets, never consumed though it burns through the years, dim in the daylight of power and privilege. When they are gone, hope will shine on. Christ is the light that the prophets awaited. Christ is the lion, the lamb, and the child. Christ is the love and the mystery and laughter. Candles make way. Christ is the day. Christ remains today's hope." Amen. We continue in our worship, this time through our offering. Let us pray. Generous God, all that we are and have is from you. Receive now our offerings freely given to be used for the benefit of all. May we be willing to offer freely in the service of others, whatever we can in time, money, or talents. Despite the dangers in our world, new life continues to come forth. And parents all over the world are learning of joy and pains of parenthood. As we enter this time of Advent, waiting to celebrate once more the birth of your Son, we thank you for the wonder of childbirth, the joy of the cries of a newborn baby. Lord, in this period of Advent, we wait and anticipate. Amen. We sing together hymn 117, "Mothering God, you gave me birth."
Mother, you gave me birth.
Let's come to God in a prayer of thanksgiving and for others. Lord of life, we come to you. We thank you for the gift of life you give to every child and the promise of potential that every child possesses. Every child is special to you. Each and every one is loved and precious. Within each child are gifts and potential which adults are meant to nurture and encourage. Lord, we are grateful that many children have family and friends, people who nurture and care for them. But we know that too many children are torn from their families and friends and left isolated and uncared for. Lord, we pray for children today who are apart from their families, who are struggling to get by. We pray for the agencies and people involved in helping them and are grateful for all they do. Lord, we are grateful that many children have access to education and healthcare, that they have opportunities to grow and develop, to live life to the full. Lord, we pray for children today who do not have this access, who do not have the same opportunities to grow and develop, to live full lives. We are thankful for the work of charities and organizations who try to help these children and who seek to eradicate poor education and healthcare. Lord, we are glad that many children live happy, uncomplicated lives, who enjoy the freedom of play and the joys of childhood. Lord, we pray for the children today who are living less than happy lives, who have complicated families and circumstances, who have no freedom to play or opportunity to enjoy their childhood. Lord, we pray for the work of groups and organizations who work tirelessly to ensure that all children have happy childhoods and opportunities to play and enjoy all that childhood offers. Lord, we delight in our children and long for them to be happy and healthy. We pray for the health and well-being of all children today, here at home and around the world. May we be aware of situations and circumstances where we can help another child, and may your Spirit guide us to them. Lord, in our mercy, hear our prayers. Amen. Our closing hymn is 113, God, the Father of Creation, hymn 113.
Thank you.
May hope be reborn in you today. May hope be reborn in the world tomorrow. May hope be reborn so heaven may be glimpsed here on earth. Go now with the hope of God, born into this world of sorrow and conflict. May that hope be with you today, tomorrow, and evermore.